Would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, reading through verse 14. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the One who spoke this world into existence and the One who will bring it to a close. We're thankful that You're our Father. You're not just the God of heaven and earth, but You're also our Heavenly Father. And what a marvelous thing it is to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're thankful, Lord, that we are Your children. We feel safe and secure. We have great peace because we are the children of God. We know that we're Your children, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And not because of our works, but because of the works that Thou hast done for us. Thank You, Lord, for saving our soul. We pray that You would help us, Lord, to live a life in such a way that we would not just with the words of our mouth, but by the deeds of our lives, help us to show forth the gratitude that we feel for Thy goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, not only for eternal heaven, but we thank You for the kingdom of heaven that we can enjoy while we live here in this world, to be able to experience that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we pray that You would help us, Lord, that we would walk as children of light, that You would help us every day to be conscious of Your presence, that we would try harder to please Thee and to honor Thee and glorify Thee by the words of our mouth and by the deeds of our lives, by the thoughts that are in our minds and hearts. Help us, Lord, to be pure within and without. We pray that You would help us to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Lord, we beg You to bless all those who stand in great need of Thy help. There are so many who need Thee beyond anything that we can imagine. There are those that stand in great need of Thy help, and we pray that You would help them as You alone are able to do. There are those, Lord, that without Thee, that they'll just perish. And we ask You, Lord, to help them, deliver them, and help us to know the things that we can do to help those who are in great distress and trouble, discouraged and despondent, those that are experiencing depression. We pray that You would help them and lift them up. We pray that You would bless not only those who are sick in their mind and hearts and souls, but You would bless those who are sick physically. We know that You're the great physician, that You have all power. We've seen You perform miracles, and we thank You, Lord, for that. We ask You now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would bless every person on our hearts and minds and on our prayer list and all those here in this congregation. Bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We ask You, Lord, to touch and heal and lift up and restore to health. Bless those that have cancer and other problems, that You would strengthen them, and bless the doctors and nurses and give them wisdom that they need, and bless the medication that they give and the things that they do that it would be for the good of those who are sick. We continue to beg Thy blessings upon our nation. We thank You, Lord, for another national birthday. And we pray in the name of Jesus that You would help us as a nation, that we would return to Thee, that we would return to being one nation under God, and that You would bless America to return to the righteous principles upon which she was founded. Bless us now in this hour. Teach us from Thy holy word. Instruct us and help us to grow spiritually from Thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." You notice that the last three words there in that 11th verse says that the people were dull of hearing. That is, they were tired of hearing the Word of God. They were dull of hearing. In verse 12 he says, this is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. All of you know that whenever the Word of God talks about the milk of the Word of God, it's talking about the basic things, the simple things of the Word of God. And the people of God, the Word of God is described as spiritual food, and we need the milk of the Word. All of us need the milk of the Word, but there ought to come a time in the lives of God's people where they grow to where they can take the meat of the Word and not just the milk of the Word. There are babies that they take milk when they're first born, but as they grow and as they mature, they need something more than just milk. Likewise, spiritually, when we're first born of the Spirit of God, we need the milk of the Word. That's the reason that Peter says that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. The people of God need to grow. And it's through the Word of God, the milk of the Word, that we begin to grow. And then after a while, if we are working and laboring, we need more than just the milk of the Word. We need the meat of the Word. Now, what Paul is saying here is that I've fed you the milk of the Word, and I continue to feed you the milk of the Word, and you're not able, even after all this time, that you ought to be teaching other people, you ought to be feeding them, you still have need that one teach you which are the principles of the oracles of God. That is, the people were not growing. And he says, you're not able to take strong meat, you still need the milk of the Word. And that was a bad condition for the people to be in. He says, ye have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, he says, for every one of you that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. I want you to think about that. Every one of you, he says, every one of you that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, what is the word of righteousness that he's talking about? What is the word of righteousness? It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. He said, you're unskillful in the Word of God. You know, there are people, I love to go into a store occasionally where people know what they're doing. Have you ever been in stores where people didn't know what they were doing? You know, you walk in some stores and you ask them where something is and nobody knows where anything is. It's a blessing to go in a store where they can tell you exactly what you're looking for is at. They know the store. They're familiar with the store. There's some auto places, Brother Robbie, I'm sure, knows that you can call some auto supply stores and they know exactly what you need and they'll find it for you and send you exactly what you need. And there are other places you can call and they don't know the books and they're not familiar with the inventory and they're not familiar with the parts and they'll probably send you the wrong thing. They don't know what you're talking about. Well, just as that's true in the natural realm, it's true in the spiritual realm. And I think to a much greater degree in America today, that there are so many of the churches and so many of the people that are ignorant of the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They have heard the Word of God. They go to the house of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and yet they are still, though they might have been in the house of God for 20 and 30 years, they're still babes in Christ. All they can take is just the milk of the Word. Do you know why? The only thing they can take is the milk of the Word. It's because the only time that they're feeding on the Word of God is when? When do you think most people feed on the Word of God? Sunday, going to church. That's when we feed on the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you're only feeding on the Word of God in the house of God, if the only time that you're reading and studying the Word of God is in the house of God, you will never grow up into spiritual maturity. And all you'll ever be able to drink, all you'll ever be able to take, is just the milk of the Word of God. It takes study and labor in the Word of God. You have to read and reread and pray and study the Word of God if you're ever going to really get down to the meat of the Word of God. The Word of God says that the saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Now what did they do? They sat in the house of God. They heard the men of God speak the Word of God. They received the Word with all readiness of mind. They heard the Word. And then what did they do? And then they went home and studied to see whether those things were so or not. Now that's what we need in the house of God. In all the churches today, we need the people of God to sit and hear the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, but then what do you need to do? You need to go home and see whether what you hear is really the Word of God or not. Otherwise, what will happen to God's people when they don't know the Word of God? What will happen? Okay, all of those things are true. What did you say, Brother Jerry? Okay, they'll stay on milk and eventually they'll starve to death. Let me tell you, brethren, Satan is as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's as a roaring lion. Do you know who that roaring lion will attack? Brother David mentioned, I think this past week out at Baptist Village, that he had watched television and watched those lions as they would go up to a herd. And you know what they pick out whenever a lion is hungry and they want to feed on something in that herd and they start chasing the whole herd? Do you know which ones they catch? They catch the babes. They catch the weak ones. They catch the ones that are not strong. That's the ones that are able to catch. Well, listen, Satan is as a roaring lion, and he's going to and fro in the earth today seeking whom he may devour. And if the people of God do not grow, if they don't just take the, if they take only the milk of the Word, they're going to be a weak babe. They're going to be a little lamb that's devoured by Satan. And so you and I, as the people of God, it behooves us. It's important. It's a life and death situation that we begin to read and study the Word of God so that we can grow. Peter says, grow in grace. After he says in the second chapter, he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. But then the last thing he says is, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow up as a Christian? How do you grow up? You grow up by reading and studying the Word of God, learning the Word of God, and by living the Word of God, by walking in the light of God's Word. And then you become a more mature Christian. You become stronger, and you become less vulnerable to Satan. And there are many of God's people, many of dear children of God, that are destroyed by Satan because all they're ever taking in is what? What's the only thing they're taking in of the Word of God? They're just taking in the milk of the Word. They're just babes. Little babes in Christ. Now I believe this. I believe that our Heavenly Father, that when somebody is really a babe and they've just been born of the Spirit of God, I believe God keeps a hedge around them and protects them. But I believe that after a while, when they have been a babe and they've been taught the Word of God and they've been instructed and God has warned them to read and study the Word and to grow, if they don't do what God tells them to do, I believe God will remove that protective hedge. And you and I, as the people of God, need to understand that Satan is real and he wants to destroy your life and this nation. Do you know what God's Word says in Hosea 4, verse 6? It says, God says, My people are destroyed for a lack of what? A lack of knowledge. They don't know the Word of God. Do you know, brethren, that one of the most horrible things in the world today is that people who have the Word of God, who have Bibles in the abundance that we have in America, and we have the education that we do, that we can read and we can understand, and we have the Bibles and we have the freedom that we have in America, we don't have anybody breaking in and killing people for reading and studying the Word of God, and yet there is more ignorance of the Word of God today than there has ever been in the entire history of the United States of America. It's a sad condition. More education than we've ever had before. More Bibles than we've ever had before. And less knowledge of the Word of God than ever before. What does he say in verse 14? I want you to look now at verse 14. He says that in verse 13 that they were unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In verse 14 he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now is that, let me ask you this question. When he talks about those that are of full age, can Sister Courtney be one that's of full age, though she's only 10? How old are you? 10. Can she be one that's a full age? I've seen some 10-year-olds that were much further along than 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds. Did you know that? I've seen some 10 and 12-year-olds that have been taught the Word of God from a babe. I think that's what Timothy's mother and grandmother did. That from a child, he was instructed, he was taught the Word of God. Timothy was not a man that just went to the house of God once a week and heard the Word of God. He had a mother and a grandmother that fed him and taught him and instructed him in the Word of God. And he grew. He grew into the point that finally he was a great soldier of Jesus Christ. He was a man of God who could stand against the wiles of the devil. He put on the whole armor of God. He was able to stand because he did not just take the milk of the Word. He kept growing and he started taking the meat of the Word and he grew thereby. It says in verse 14 now, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. I just want to remind you, brethren, that there are little babes, little children. There are children in this church that I think are very mature when it comes to the reading and understanding of God's Word. And there can be old people in the church that have hardly any understanding at all of the Word of God. Now, the old people can be babes and the children can be mature. So he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That is, those that are spiritually mature. He says, even those who by reason of use, what have they been using? They've been using the Word of God. They're skillful in the Word of righteousness, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, their spiritual senses are exercised because they keep studying the Word of God. Their spiritual senses are exercised and they're able to determine or discern between good and evil. They're able to discern, identify those things that are good, and they're able to identify those things that are evil. Did you know that in our society today, and in churches today, there are many people that evil goes on and they don't recognize the evil. They don't see the evil. There are false doctrines that are preached from the Word of God in the pulpits in America today. False teachings of the Word of God, things that contradict the Word of God, and the people don't recognize evil. Why not? Why do the people sit and hear false doctrine and they never understand that it's false doctrine? Why? They say it again, Sister Jane. That's right. They don't know the Word of God. They haven't studied the Word of God. I've watched churches that would have one preacher for 25 and 30 years. And that preacher was solid as a rock and preached the Word of God. But that was the extent of their preaching and teaching in the house of God. And I've watched after 30 years of having a man that was sound in the Word of God and preached the truth of God's Word and was faithful in preaching the Word of God, but he was not faithful in teaching and going house to house and working with small groups and instructing and teaching the flock. And when he left the church within a year, the church had gone completely away from the Word of God. How can such a thing as that happen? Because preaching alone on Sunday is not enough to help the people of God grow up and be spiritually mature. Preaching on Sunday is not enough to help the people of God, the flock of God, the children of God. They will not grow up into mature adults. They will not be able to take the meat of the Word. They will not be able to discern good and evil just from preaching once a week. You might not agree with that, but I believe with all my heart that preaching once a week just won't get it. We need to read and study the Word of God to be able to discern good and evil. I think that in most churches today you could go down and give a list of things. You could go in most churches with a list and say, please circle, listen carefully to what I'm saying, you could hand them a list and say, please circle on this list, please circle the things that you believe are right. And please X out the things on this that you believe are wrong. And you could begin to list very major issues that we're facing in our society today. And there would be many churches that would choose the things that are evil as good, and they would choose the things that are good as evil and mark them out. Now, I want to just give you just one or two things to just give you an example, but if you want a lot more, I'll give you many more after the service tonight. Back up in your Bibles to, and this is the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is that God's people need to be able, it is important, it is a life and death matter for you to be able to determine, discern between good and evil. You need to be able to identify, that's evil. It's not a bunch of gray matter, brethren. It's not a bunch of middle-of-the-road stuff and just a few things that are right and a few things that are wrong. There's a clear right and wrong. Good and evil. Now you know how we determine what's right and wrong and what's good and evil? Well, we vote on it, don't we? We vote on it. That's how we decide. Whatever the majority thinks is right. No, that's not how you decide what's right and wrong. That's not how you decide what's good and evil. You decide what's good. Listen, if you do that, you will always go the wrong way. If you look for the majority to vote on what's right and what's wrong, if as a nation we're going to go by what the majority wants and thinks is right and what the majority thinks is wrong, our nation is certainly headed for destruction. You don't determine what's right and wrong by what the people think, because the Word of God says that God saw the hearts of men and that they were only evil continually. The Word of God says that if we lean to our own understanding, we're headed for destruction. The Word of God teaches us that the natural man, listen carefully, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man will never feel that God's way is right. God's way is the right way. The only way you'll know what's God's way is not just through voting or praying. The only way you'll know what's God's way is by studying the Word of God. Let me just give you this example. There are a lot of things flooding my mind right now. I'll give you one thing. Someone this past week was talking about, they were so thankful about how much money their church was raising. They were having bake sales, and they were having car washes, and they were having... And he was just talking about all the different money that the church was raising and how wonderful it was that the church was raising money. Is that what God, does that sound good? Does that sound good to raise money for the church? Doesn't that sound good? Does it sound good? Is it God's way? You see, God has a way. And I tried to talk to him. I said, now... I said, where do you find that in the Bible that you get out and raise money for the church? Does God's Word tell how money is to be brought into the house of God? Does God's Word say that the people of God, on the first day of the week, that they're to come and bring their tithes and offerings to the storehouse, and that there will be plenty of whatever is needed when the people of God bring their tithes and offerings? Do you know why church is out having to raise money? It's because the members of the body are so full of greed and covetousness, they're not bringing their tithes and offerings to the storehouse. Don't you ever go along with coming up with another way besides God's way for bringing money into God's house. It won't please God. It may make you think you're doing a lot of good work, but it's just not God's way. Another thought that came to my mind. I called a dear old widow this morning. She was just on my heart. She's a preacher's widow, and her husband's been dead for a number of years, but great man of God, great woman of God, and she said, Brother Mullis, I'm just so burdened. I'm so burdened. She said, my daughter is divorcing her husband. And this other man that she knew in high school, they've met, and that's the reason that they're divorcing, and now she's going to marry her old high school sweetheart. And let me tell you something, brethren. Does that mama have a reason to be burdened in her heart? She told me, she said, the wedding is this coming Friday, and my heart is just so heavy, because she said, I'm watching my children go away from God and what's right in God's Word. That's about as hard a thing as you can ever experience in this world, is when your children go contrary to God's Word. Just turn their back on the truth that you've stood for and tried to teach them and instruct them. I just can't comprehend. I think that's the worst thing I could... I think the second worst thing I could ever experience would be pastor of a church and watch a church turn their back on God's Word. But I think the worst thing in the world that I could ever experience as a human being is my children to turn their back on the truth of God's Word. To know I had failed to teach and instruct them and direct them and failed to help them grow into mature adults where they could discern between good and evil. Now I want you to back up to 1 Corinthians. This is what I wanted to go to in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Please turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll just spend just a few minutes here. But I want you to see that churches can be thinking they're doing what's right when they're doing what's wrong. And they can be doing a lot of things that are wrong. Now the church at Corinth was probably one of the most... It's amazing that God would even call it a church. Did you know that? It's amazing to me that God would even call it a church. It just shows the grace of God that God would call it a church. But God wasn't through with this church. Now, He eventually got through with it. He eventually closed the church up. He eventually removed His candlestick from this church at Corinth. You say, how do you know that? Because the church at Corinth is not there today. So sometimes after this, they did completely turn their back on the Word of God. But right here, they're in a terrible condition, and God's going to tell them what they need to do to straighten up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to notice what the Scripture says. We'll close just looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There are just two things I want to identify that the church at Corinth was doing that was wrong that they thought was right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Why couldn't he speak unto them as unto spiritual? Spiritual people can take what? Strong meat. That's right. Spiritual people can take strong meat. But those that are just babes, what do they have to have? Just milk. He says, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, are carnal people, are they dead alien sinners? No. They're children of God who are babes in Christ. There's a difference in the natural man and the carnal man and the spiritual man. The natural man is one who has not been born of the Spirit of God. A carnal person is one that's been born of the Spirit of God, but he's still a babe in Christ. He hasn't grown. He's not able to discern good and evil. And a spiritual man is one that can take the meat and the milk of the Word of God, and he will stand and he will know the difference in good and evil. He says, "I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He says in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 3, 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Who wrote, I'm not going to argue that. I started to say who wrote Hebrews, but I'm not going to argue that point. All I want to say is, was there a similar problem in Hebrews 5, and 1 Corinthians 3, was there a similar problem in both places? Verse 3 says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men?" They were carnal. Now why does he specifically identify here that they were carnal? What was there? What was in the church? What was in the church? What was the problem that he specifically identified? There were divisions in the church. I want you to go back to chapter 1. Let me tell you, brethren, any church where there are divisions in the body, if there's schisms in the body, if you've got this little clique here that doesn't like this little clique here, you've got this little group that doesn't like that group, the Word of God says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It is extremely important that a church settle any problems. The Word of God says don't ever let the sun go down on your wrath. If you're ever upset with anybody in the church, you have a responsibility to go to that person before the sun goes down and get it straightened out. And if you can't get it straightened out, you go take a brother or sister with you and y'all sit down together and get it straightened out. If I know of a problem in this body, brethren, I cannot sleep until we get it straightened out. Divisions in the body cannot be tolerated. Why? Because it'll destroy the church. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, well, you're familiar with this passage, and I don't want to go into that right now. I want to come to, for the sake of time, I want to go to chapter 5. Here was another problem. Besides the divisions in the church, and that's all described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. What's fornication? Most all of you know what that is. There is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up. Let me ask you, why was this church puffed up? Why was this church puffed up? Because they were proud that they did not judge that member. Did you know there are a lot of churches proud that they don't judge their members today? God's Word says the church is responsible for judging her members. If you don't know and understand that truth, if you don't believe that God's Word teaches that the church has a responsibility to judge her members, you are not able to discern between good and evil. And you'll be calling good evil and evil good. There are churches today that do not believe in church discipline, and when they hear about a church that carries out church discipline, they rear back and they puff up and they say, "Why, I'd never judge anybody. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged." Brethren, there is a judgment we're not to carry out. There is a judgment that we are to carry out. We're to carry out God's judgment. The Word of God says that Jesus said, "Judge righteous judgment." The Word of God comes right on down in this chapter and says, that if any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, an idolater, a drunkard, or a railer, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, who does that sound cruel? Does that sound harsh? Do you know the intent of church discipline? What's the purpose of church discipline? It's to try to save them from the error of their way. And you know what happened with this man that we're reading about right here? You go home and read 2 Corinthians, you'll find that when this church carried out the discipline that God's Word called for, that man was broken and cried and wept, and then the church was told, now that he's repented, take him back. Now that's the purpose of church discipline, is to bring about a change in God's people. People call good evil and evil good. You know what we need in our lives? We need the ability to be able to discern between good and evil, because in America today, more and more and more, churches, listen carefully, I'm not talking about the government, I'm not talking about somebody other than so-called churches. Churches today are calling good evil, and they're calling evil good, because they're not able to discern between good and evil. May God help us to read and study His Word every day so that we'll be able to discern good and evil, is my prayer for Christ's sake.